When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CAneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CAneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CAneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CAneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.
Season 7, Episode 10, and Season 7, Episode 11 of Billions are both over, but we are just getting started here on the Billions podcast on post-show recaps, where we are breaking down the Showtime series' 7th and final season, episode by episode, and today, 2 episodes for the price of 1 podcast, as we are getting into Enemies List and Axe Global, the return of the Billions podcast, coinciding with the great return of Bobby Axelrod. Maybe not in time to stop Mike Prince. We'll talk about that in a minute here. Of course, I'm Josh Wigler. I am joined here by Jess Sterling. I imagine everyone knows that already, though, Jess, based on your heavy metal Metallica theme music that you have arrived to.
Yeah, I come in wearing a leather jacket and jeans. Mm-hmm. Just everyone's in tuxes.
The U2 gala. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that was last week's episode, and like we're going to talk about really these 2 episodes sort of just like in one amorphous blob. You can blame my travel schedule for the combination of these 2 episodes in one podcast, Jess. But that being said, the discrepancy between who is Mike Prince and who is Bobby Axelrod by defining them through U2 versus Metallica, or whichever heavy metal band that was. I think it was Metallica, but maybe it wasn't. Just chef's kiss. Like, you could not do a better job just with a very quick audio cue reminding us who Bobby is and who Mike Prince is. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an iconic way to bring Axe back, and I am here.
I'm awake.
Yeah, I'm awake.
I'm wide awake.
Yeah, if you're watching the YouTube video of this, the YouTube version of the podcast, postyourrecaps.com/YouTube, you could see me say, wide awake.
Yeah, your eyes get a little bit.
Your eyes get like huge as Damian Lewis is wide awake and returned to the Big Apple here in the final couple of episodes here of Billions. We wanted Bobby Axelrod back, but is it too little, too late. Both in terms of people's enjoyment of the show, I would be curious to get your take on that, Jess, but certainly as far as it pertains to the storyline proper. It seems like maybe we're the Mike Prince train has left the station and can't be stopped. You're minted, Mike.
I'm very upset about it. Here's the thing. I am so happy to have Bobby back on the show. And I feel like, and we love the character of Prince in terms of being a foil, right? Like he's a great, great villain.
Yes.
The problem is it's so hard to have Billions without Bobby Axelrod. Yes. Like he is so ingrained in the fabric of this show that as soon as he returns, you kind of are like, oh my God, I didn't realize how much I missed him.
Yes, correct. Yes.
And so I do think the show works to a degree without him. But I'm happy that we didn't have to experience that much of the show without him. And I think that like having him go up against Prince and Bobby just, he doesn't lose often. It's so rare Bobby loses. And he lost originally with Prince. And I just didn't expect us to be in a position where they lose again.
Yes.
And this time as a united front, as like the most like intelligent, powerful people all grouped in one room versus, you know, you got your Wendy, Taylor, like Bobby, Chuck. You have like the most intelligent, cutthroat group.
I can't believe
people.
You just left Ira's name off the list.
Sorry, like Ira. Anything. Wags left Wags off the list.
Yeah.
They lose to Mike Prince for this, for now. This is round one, and this is the anti-penultimate and the penultimate episodes. So we still have one more to go, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous about this.
Yeah, it's very, very nerve-wracking with just a single episode left of Billions to go. That does make me feel like, look, it's not over yet. There's literally a full-ass episode of Billions still before this thing wraps, and we know that computer has to go through the window. Is that going to be because Prince has lost, or because Wendy has done something so egregious, even as Prince is going to win? Remains to be seen, but it's just not a lot of time left on the board to resolve the situation as it currently stands, which is that Governor Dunlop has stepped down and is stepping up as Prince's running mate, and they are charging into the breach, and that is hard to walk back from. And I do feel like, Jess, we're not going to end this show having taken down Prince. I don't think so. I think maybe part of the moral of the story is going to be like, we build these things that spiral out of control, like with this system, with capitalism, that like we aren't going to be able to contain. And that's like a really dark ending for the show. So I feel like there does have to be some kind of like karmic victory. But as far as like actually stopping Prince, how do we do this?
The problem is also my brain can't help but think about the fact that we are going to have some spinoffs, right? Yeah. And so like, I would feel a little bit more confident about saying Prince has to be taken down if we weren't about to have spinoffs. Because if you have spinoffs, you could tell whatever story you want and then change it with the spinoffs. You don't necessarily have to end things and, you know, properly with the show when we're going to have spinoffs. So I agree with you. It feels like a lot of work to be done to take down Prince with only one episode left. However, if any show can do it, it's Billions, because Billions, as they did in this episode, loves to like start off at the end and then be like, and this is how we got there.
Yes, right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if and like you said, we still have the computer through the office window situation to contend with, which I am so intrigued by, because my pitch to you was, I think it's family related. I think it's Andy related. And in this most recent episode, episode 11, we see Andy say, nah, I'm leaving. I'm out, skis. I'm gonna go hang with my boy Derek. I'll be off the grid. Good luck with your campaign. So what is it that group can possibly do to upset Prince with regards to Andy when she is away with Derek? I just don't know exactly what the move is for them.
That is hard for me to see right now. Like, some of these things I think have now played out. So I have some questions about like who we have seen the last of now. Like, it certainly feels like we've seen the last of Ryan. Ryan, like, gosh, it's so, thank God, though, for her, right?
Yes,
like, I think, like, One of my frequent complaints about 24, Jess, was that like this show doesn't know how to write anybody off without just like obliterating them. Like you cannot just have like some characters retire. You can't just have like your beloved characters quit and not become like, you know, like embroiled in another counterterrorism unit scheme. They just have to be like car bombed. not getting like specifically angry about what happened to two of my favorite 24 characters, but maybe just a little. So like you have that on certain shows. And then on a show like this, how rare and delightful is it to just be able to watch somebody walk away before the wreck really hits them? And I really didn't think that that's where it was going with Ryan. It seemed like she had sold her soul for, you know, that shot at being a partner, but no, she's just going to go backpacking. So that story feels done. Ben, Kim and Tuck, are we done with them? Is this just sort of like the gallows ending of like putting them out to pasture? Or is there
I don't
more
think
to do
so.
There?
Okay. I think based on there is a line that Axe says about like he knows, like he has this whole line about how, oh yeah, Tuck and Ben Kim are definitely going to be like fired by now. We'll see if we can pick them up. I think that's going to happen, especially because we know they didn't take the meeting with Taylor because they knew if they stepped foot in Axe Global, they would be like, okay, we're in, you know, what is it? You son of a bitch, I'm in. Like, that's exactly what they would be, Morty. That's exactly what would happen. Right. And so I think that there's a way that that Axe pulls them in. I don't necessarily think they're going to be in the position to make or break anything in terms of like they have those non-compete clauses. And they also have, I forget what Ari had said they're called, but it's not even just said an aggressive non-compete clause. You also aren't allowed to like badmouth the company to anyone. So, but I do think that we're not done with them, especially because Josh, this show loves their darlings, right? Like we got to see who was the chef? Why am I blanking on his name?
Brian Connerty.
Brian Connerty as a hibachi chef, right?
Yes.
Mafi, my guy.
Yeah, your guy Mafi.
He is back. Yes. So like when a show does that, I just don't think that they spent the time on the firing of Tuck and Ben Kim. I feel like we're going to get a little bit more of them in the finale as well.
That would be great. I think it'd be awesome. I do think also it would be realistic if like this is how the cookie crumbles for some of these people too. You know, like as we're just like sort of exploring the cautionary tales for some of these characters. The big like, you know, guillotine hanging over the whole thing has two names actually. There's two guillotines hanging over the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Trillions and millions. So like we don't know, you know, like we know it's that true. Billions is about to get chopped in half. Or at least it's going to get chopped in half. And did Billions just die? Or does the show then spin out into these two different shows with some of the characters from Billions leading those two shows?
Yeah.
Hard to know like yet what that looks like as we're recording this at the very least. So like I can imagine the world where Ben and Tuck's story continues on one of those shows. And so they're done here on Billions. But in a world where we're not thinking about spinoffs on the other side of this as well, I think that there's like something that like I would advocate for strongly on shows that come to the finish line is like, yeah, your endings for your characters can be harsh if they're thematic and earned. And like it would be thematic and earned for guys like Ben and Tuck to just get screwed over like this. The thing that makes me feel like maybe not with Ben was that scene that he has with Wendy of basically like you're Ben effing Kim and like this is your moment. Like, I still feel like some sort of like internal uprising or like people who are going to feel like I've got nothing to lose and I'd rather blow up than see Mike Prince win.
Yeah.
I put Wendy on that list as well. I think that there is for certain a world where Wendy Rhodes would rather go to jail than see Mike Prince rise to the top. I think some major sacrifice play has to go down in the finale for Mike Prince to go down as well.
I agree. I just think, someone's going to have to take the fall, right? Like Wendy, these people really won't stop at much to take down Prince at this point, considering how dangerous he is as a person, right? This isn't a joke. This guy could become president. We've been there. It's not great. So it wouldn't surprise me if they hurt themselves or hurt people they're close with in this whole effort, right? Like, they have this conversation where they talk about the fact that there are going to be some sacrifices. They're not going to be able to save everyone at Mike Prince Capital. People like Dollar Bill and Victor, right, who made the financially correct move to stay with Mike Prince because their money is tied up with them. As Axe says, they didn't lose their mind like Taylor did and decide to risk hundreds of millions of dollars to play a game. So I do think there is going to be people that are hurt. And again, like you said, because we have these spinoffs, we certainly could see them in the future. I left these two episodes with a massive question about a smaller character this season, a new character to this season, Amanda Torrey. She is the person who works for Chuck. He says to her, we're going after Prince. We're going after every company he's associated with. And she, you know, fights back and says, well, have they done anything wrong? Have they done anything illegal? And Chuck says, we're going to find something that they did that was illegal. And she doesn't want to hurt the thousands of people that work at these companies, that their reputation will be tarnished. They might be fired just for the act of announcing like an investigation into these companies Prince owns. And then she meets up with Kate because they had a conversation where Kate's like, hey girl, I've been you.
Yes.
You know, he's going to push you at some point. He's going to show you who he is. And she is the one who tells Kate about the investigations. Obviously, Kate then goes and tells Prince, who already knew because he's having all of his people followed. And this was so interesting to me that we get this scene with Amanda and Kate. And it makes me wonder if, one, Amanda is involved in the spinoffs, because I feel like she is like a kind of a new version of Kate, right? She's like the secondary Kate. And two, is she going to play a bigger part in all of this? Or was it just to get Prince the information? And did Chuck know that that was going to happen?
Exactly. So, because I think that we have to keep in mind a couple of things. One is the computer through the window is still coming. And the other thing is that no show loves a double blind and a triple blind quite like Billions. Like,
we
double back and reveal the thing so often on this show. And this definitely feels like one where, like, maybe the plan, as it was not entirely revealed to us, because I feel like the structure of this penultimate episode of Axe Global specifically, Jess, felt like we were in the dark about things. You know, it's mostly it's Axe and Prince at the table telling each other the moves they've made. So we're getting a curated, edited version of the truth anyway. So it makes me wonder, because it felt weird, and the victory for Prince felt so like preordained, easy in a way. Like, once they get to that table, it feels like it's just happening and there's nothing to be done about it, and their reaction is so there's nothing to be done about it, that feels very unlike Chuck and Axe specifically, and very unlike the show. So what do they know that we don't? Did they just win and we don't know it, and we will find out in the finale that something that they had in mind has just, like, double effed Prince super hard and Dunlop too while they're at it, or even hook Dunlop to the ticket and then, like, have, like, Prince have to step out and now Dunlop's really the only choice. I'm trying to think of, like, a way in which Dunlop comes out ahead, but I think she kind of screwed things up for herself.
I think at this point she has hitched her wagon to Prince in a way that the group is like, take her down too. If she's willing to do this to be on the ticket, take her down as well.
Yes.
Especially because it's like, if you have people like Chuck and Axe meeting with you one-on-one and you're still not going to play ball and you're still going to go to Mike Prince, they're like, burn her down with the rest of it. We don't care.
So, but I wonder then, like, to your point, is, like, Torrey somebody who is being, like, sent to give information to Kate? Is she somebody who, like, heard what Kate said of, like, someday Chuck will reveal himself to you? And the version of that we are presented with is, Chuck says, yeah, innocents are going to go down. That's an unfortunate byproduct of the situation we are in. We have no choice but for that to happen. This isn't law school anymore. What are you going to do? And she chooses to go to Kate. Is that her, like, not being ready to accept that the system being overhauled is going to result in these kinds of consequences, which is horrible and unfortunate, but apparently, like, the way of the jungle, the law of the world? Did Chuck reveal himself to her in that moment and she trusts that? Like, is this somebody who, like, sees what Chuck just put down and is like, he's right, and I have a part to play in this as well? And is she going to Kate with some information that Chuck needs to give to her to pass along to Prince, so that Prince continues to be just, like, in that storm cloud of whiteboard? Like, he's at the whiteboard. Like, it's election night, you know, which is amazing as a metaphor. Like, he just is, like, trying to scramble to, like, figure all this stuff out. Has he just been totally snowed, right? Like, I feel like is very much on the table.
Yes, especially because Chuck is someone who he can suss things out.
Yes.
Like, it's not like Amanda had all of these thoughts, the Amandatory had all these thoughts about, oh, it's going to affect all these people, but didn't say anything. She's saying it directly to Chuck. And what's different, I think, or what's maybe, you know, a little bit more of an immature version of Kate is, or an inexperienced version of Kate, is that like Tori didn't use this as leverage against Chuck to get something for herself.
Right.
Where I think, you know, Kate maybe had a little bit of those stumbling blocks as well and eventually figured out how to leverage the position that she was in to get the most gain for herself over time, which she's done time and time again. And maybe Tori is just not there yet. Maybe she hasn't, right, to the point of earlier this season when Chuck sits down with her and he says, you lose pieces of yourself.
Yes.
Maybe she just hasn't lost enough of herself yet to be that, you know, immoral to use this to get her own personal gain. But I just thought it was such an interesting moment to have with a character that is new to this season, not a huge character, but certainly holds a lot of information at her disposal and is able, and Kate being extremely intelligent and should not be underestimated, is using Tori as well. So that whole aspect has me really intrigued, and it makes me wonder if they're either setting something up for the finale or setting something up for these spinoffs, because I think either one is possible. And while the spinoffs do at a certain point kind of undercut a finale, if you will, because it's like, oh, but there's still more. I do think it's kind of fun that we don't necessarily know which one they're kind of setting us up for.
So let's talk about Wendy Rhodes. Wendy has a really tough couple of episodes, especially the antepenultimate episode of Billions, where she finds out that the job she has just taken on is not only deeply tied in with Prince, but that Prince hoodwinked her and got her to like sign on to bogus financials. And now she's like liable for health insurance fraud and all sorts of other malpractice that has prison sentences all tied up in it. Bobby's able to come back and figure out the way around this by getting Derek out of prison.
Maximum Derek
is no longer, maybe it's like minimum security Derek. No, he's like no security Derek. Derek's free now. Free Derek. And he's able to free Derek and bring him back and take the Prince's plot on Wendy out in that way. Is Wendy out of the woods at this point for you? Where are you at with Wendy after these couple of episodes, and what do you see for her future as a character?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think Wendy is fine on that front specifically. The mental front, I think she's out of. What I think is interesting is we talked a lot about how, you know, the Wendy and X of it all, and how they didn't even really kiss or do much before Damien Lewis Axe left the show.
Yeah.
So we were wondering, how are they going to play that out in the event of Axe's return? And I feel like they showed us their cards by having it be Wendy is in trouble. Oh no, that's how you get to Axe. It's not by threatening him. It is by threatening Wendy. And I felt like by having them show us that and have that be a realization that Wags and Chuck and Wendy have, specifically, you know, Wags kind of pointing it out, I feel like we're not done with that aspect of Wendy's storyline yet. So while I do think she's out of the woods in terms of mental, I wouldn't be surprised if either one of these spinoffs or just the end of the show has her and Axe actually properly together. Because I think it's not something I need, you know, I've never necessarily wanted that. I felt like I really loved their like platonic ability to work together and be like a really good team. But I think that maybe either the show wants it or the show thinks the audience wants it, right? Everyone loves a ship. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's what they did. But I think in terms of Wendy's career, I have to hope that the mental stuff isn't going to follow her because they found their way around it. And I don't think we're going to come back to it.
This is why I feel like she will blow herself up if needed. She has this scene with Ryan in the antepenultimate where she says, I've had a career. I loved my career. You haven't. I know how much it can mean because I loved my career so much. So don't fall on the sword for me. Ryan makes her own choice based on that, which is great. And it's a different choice. Like she's like foregoing the career in favor of having a life. I think she heard what Wendy had to say and interpreted it differently, but interpreted it in a way that works well for her and her energy and her character and all of that. Her whimsy. She and her whimsy are going backpacking, Jess. But I think Wendy articulating that at all, one of the functions it could possibly serve is that she is going to be willing to like sacrifice more than her career. Like I think that she would be willing to go to prison to see Mike Prince put away, if not put away, then at least taken out of the path of the White House. So I'm of like the people who could go to jail by the end of Billions. She's really high, if not the very top of my list, is Wendy Rhodes.
I think that makes sense because we're not going to see Axe or Chuck serve prison time. It's just not going to happen. And I think that them having this whole mental storyline of like, there was a chance that Wendy was completely screwed. And it took Axe a long time to get the solution of Derek. And there's not going to always be a Derek that is the solution. Even Chuck says, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. You're looking at decades of jail time if this goes through. I think that kind of was a warning sign to us as the viewers of like, not everything you can talk your way out of. It's not always about who you know.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think of all of the people on the show, besides, you know, your Mike Prince's, I could see Wendy going down for something. I think it would be a really interesting story to have Wendy go down for it and Axe and Chuck be like so peeved and so pissed, because that is right. They love her for better or for worse, right? Like Chuck as his ex-wife and the mother of his children, and Axe in a different way. But I don't know. I could totally see that. I wouldn't like it. I mean, I love Wendy. I'm not that I wouldn't hate it as a show idea. It's more of like, I love Wendy and I don't want that.
But I do think that there's something to be said about one of the themes of this story. And like one of the things that like, man, like in so many of these real versions of this, you know, the various different ways in which what the Mike Prince storyline is standing in for play out on the outside as just a small person in the face of this large problem, you can't help but be like, where is the actual adult in the room who is willing to sacrifice their shit in order to stop this? Like, who actually has it within them to throw their job away or like throw their future prospects away in favor of making sure we like societally don't die? Where is that person? Yeah. And I feel like there is an interesting opportunity to have Wendy stand in for that and be like, this is a possible way forward. Like the only way to do this is enormous self-sacrifice. So I'm interested to see where they land her. I would be bummed for that to be Wendy's ending. I have an eye on it as a possibility.
Yeah. And speaking of
Chuck is another good example of somebody who might be willing to just like totally blow himself up in order to stop Prince. But I just see the path is a little less clear for me.
I think it's harder for him. I mean, obviously he's been on this like moral ship for a little bit, but I don't know that it can go that far. But speaking of characters who have given things up, I want to ask you about Taylor, because I feel like now that we are 11, we are almost done with the season. We have one episode left. I'm a little surprised at how little we've seen of Taylor.
Yes.
We haven't gotten a ton from them. And I mean, I said this at the beginning of starting this podcast. To me, they were like a shot in the arm of fuel in the second season. I was like immediately taken with them as a character. And I do feel like we haven't gotten a ton from them this season. You know, now they're obviously with Axe, they've given up possibly hundreds of millions of dollars in return. We got this really beautiful, wonderful scene with Ryan of them saying goodbye because Ryan left behind that backpacking book to kind of hint at her leaving.
Yeah.
But Taylor has been pretty quiet, and it surprises me a little bit because they're one of the more, you know, most intelligent people, one of the most intelligent characters on the show, I would say, especially when it comes to, they think very methodically and logically, not always emotionally.
Yes.
So I'm a little surprised we haven't gotten more of them. And I have to say, I'm a little disappointed just because I love the character of Taylor so much. And I feel like we just haven't given enough of them.
Well, so the things that I'll say there is what did satisfy me about Taylor was Taylor actually being one of these people who's like, he can freaking sue me to oblivion. He can take all my money and lock it all up, and I don't care because this guy is such a piece of shit, and I will blow everything up in order to do it. I love that Taylor is the first person to do that on the show, in this particular storyline, at least. So that was great. And seeing them go to London and team up with Bobby in that way, and just seeing the two of them work together felt vintage in a way that I was really craving. So that was great. But as far as like Taylor's individuality within the story, it's definitely missing this season. I really have to imagine that they are one of the leaders of the spinoffs. I really feel like that would make sense to me, that like there's a little bit less Taylor here in the final season because there's a whole lot more Taylor coming up down the line.
And especially if it's
one of these shows,
especially if it's they lose everything and have to start from scratch. Makes a ton of sense to me. Yeah, that's a good point. I just
start from scratch, go and find Ryan on Ryan's backpacking
trip, bring Mafi in.
And Kim, like
he wants to light up in the office,
get like the small squad of people like to like let's start over, like some of us who get like sued into oblivion by Mike Prince, we can build back. You know, like I feel like something like that would be amazing. I feel like there's just so many characters on the show, and with the knowledge that there were successor shows on the line, maybe we can sort of track the line of who has been underserved this
season. I was gonna say, I think that at the maybe next episode we can kind of take bets on who's gonna be in these spinoffs, because
hopefully we know at that point. My feeling would be like now would be the time to, if you want to play your idol, now's the time.
Can I put my finger down and say I'm gonna say a name that I feel very, very strongly, and it's gonna be a weird one.
Okay, and attach it to, do you have like specifically to one of the two spinoffs?
So we have Trillions and millions.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say Millions. I'm going to say Millions.
Okay.
Winston.
Winston for Millions.
BDE Winston. And the reason is they bring him back in this episode.
Winston Dick Energy. Okay.
Yeah. And he is like having this like back and forth with Ari, who also finger on the pulse of he will be in a spinoff.
With Ira. Yes.
Sorry, why do I mix them up?
The
names are backwards and forwards, and it always
does this to me. I'm sure several people in his life make this mistake all the time.
Yes, but either way, so they are meeting together, and they have this like back and forth, and Kate's like, "I'm not doing any of this. Just fix your algorithm." You know, I just feel like he is going to barge his way into one of these spinoffs with his algorithm in his hand and be like, this is what I have to contribute.
He would be a great character to see come back in some capacity, and especially if Taylor rebuilds their team, he would be a call, I think. So I think Taylor leading one of the spinoffs, and then a bunch of these like little Greglets that we love so much, like coming along for the ride, I feel like is very, very in line with my thinking. for Trillions, this is a little bit harder for me to envision in any way that isn't Mike Prince. You know, like, it is really hard for me to envision a world where, like, we're dealing with that much money and it's not talking about the White House and Billions isn't getting into the political world. And is there some sort of, like, Wendy leaves Prince with some lasting impact of, like, I have to reevaluate what I'm really all about that we, like, follow into another show? I don't know. I don't know how that works out unless, like, Axelrod just, like, goes, like, Mach 5 or, like, Mach Trillion and just acts global, takes off into this other stratosphere to lead its own show. But it feels like that and Millions with similar cast members would be redundant. Like, one of the things I'm thinking about is what kind of industry are we even talking about? Like, what kind of, like, you know, like, what kind of, like, silo are we in? We can't just be in, like, the financial sector for both of these shows, right?
I wouldn't think so. What if someone opens up a coffee shop? That's a workplace comedy. I don't know. I do agree with you. I don't know how they parse out who belongs on what spinoff.
Trillions being like the entertainment industry could be like extremely Billions considering all their references and stuff.
Is it an LA based show?
I don't know. I really would be like pretty psyched about the London based Billions spinoff. The first of these two episodes that we have for this week, the antepenultimate enemies list, when Mike goes to confront Axe in London, and we're getting like a bit of that London vibe and the way that Billions shoots London. Like, it felt to me in some ways, in the way that we kind of eulogized New York in the previous episode, it felt almost introductory to London. I think, like, going global is Axe the global move. I think going Axe global really is the move. And after depriving us of Damian Lewis for so long, and if we're going to come up with two very new spinoff shows,
you think he's involved in,
like, you would think, like, they could find the way to make one of those spinoff shows from the ground up work entirely for Damian Lewis.
See, that's so interesting, because I could see that if they're going to move to London involving, you know, Damian Lewis, maybe he's more likely to sign on. I never imagined him as part of any of the spinoffs just because he was largely absent from this season. He's only coming in the tail end, which could be a setup for the spinoff, but also because I thought, well, he's kind of done. You know, I kind of figured the major players that haven't been involved in all of these seasons, you know, your Chuck Rhodes, your Wendy Rhodes, your Axe.
Chuck feels like he's done.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I'm all here on London-based. Absolutely. Sign me up. We got British accents. We got beautiful, beautiful scenery. Yeah. Come on.
I feel like it wouldn't be so bad. So I think Axe is on my mind as somebody who could be continuing on past this show. Chuck Rhodes, this is a final opportunity to, like, say what we think might be coming for these characters, right? What do you think is on the map for Chuck?
I feel like no matter what ends up happening with Prince, let me say this. If they take down Prince, I don't think Chuck gets away without being banged up a bit. I think he's going to get a little scratched up, a little scuffed up in this whole situation. And I think that because we've had this ongoing story about Chuck and his morals and wanting to be, you know, a better person, I think he's going to offer to take. I think he might do more of the Wendy storyline you imagined, where he might not go to jail.
Yeah.
But maybe he loses his job, which is his everything.
Yes.
Like, I could see that for Chuck. I could see him jumping in front of the bullet for someone, maybe Wendy, maybe someone else, to take that hit. I don't think it's going to end as pretty for Chuck as it will for other characters.
Yeah. I think that he's a candidate for, like, a big sacrifice play as well. I think like there is something poetic about Chuck as the crusader of justice across this show, that a final pull to make sure that everything ties up nicely and the ultimate bad guy is taken care of is going to require some measure of falling on the sword. What would Kareem Abdul-Jabbar do in times like these?
Exactly. You
know? Yeah.
We all have to ask ourselves.
What do you think is going to happen to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the series finale of Billions?
Oh, do we think there's going to be a special cameo?
Absolutely. Joe Biden's going to be on Billions. We're going to have, like, the most famous people on the planet are going to be on Billions for the final episode.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. We got a nice Rios shout out in the
How about that? Do you have any idea just how difficult getting into Rios is, let alone closing it off and having you and one other person? Like, they weren't kidding. Like, that is as big of a New York food flex as you can possibly have. And the fact that Billions was flexing that they themselves, the TV production, were able to do that is hysterical to me.
It was so funny, especially because it felt so on point to have the Democratic nominee be like, yeah, give me some veal parm. Like, I feel like, I don't know, something about a Democratic nominee eating veal parm in like a fancy restaurant that was shut down just for her. I'm like, this feels so real world.
Yeah, it does. It's very real world. Any final predictions you have for the end of Billions? I can't believe next time out, it's the end of Billions.
I can't believe it either. It's been a lot of fun.
It went by too quick. It's been very fun this final season getting to talk about it. I was always really nervous, like, okay, we're going to do a Billions podcast. All right. But I don't know anything about any of it.
It's surface level Billions.
The surface level Billions is my favorite thing. Emily and I were riveted watching these episodes. We were just like total edge of our seat mode. Emily, when we finished Enemies List, she's like, I need to watch the next one immediately. I can't figure out what's going on. Like, just the tension of these final few episodes has been so high that, like, if you probably stop down to really pull on the strings and all the levers and stuff, I bet a bunch of it falls apart.
Like, that's what you can't do with Billions. The level
gleaning of it is just so much fun.
You can't peel back the layers of Billions. You just got to take it for what it is, you know? It's like when people are like, oh, but have you seen the ingredients in a Slim Jim? It's like, no, I don't do that to myself. I just shove it in my face and call it a day.
Yeah. Billions is the Slim Jims of prestige TV.
Oh, Billions, we love you.
Yeah, well, I love Slim Jims.
I do too. It's a great road snack.
Haven't had a Slim Jim in so long.
Next time you're on a road trip, I'm telling you, it hits spot. Slim Don't get the one with the cheese. It's disgusting.
Oh, well, that's more of like a Chuck Senior hors d'oeuvre, I think.
Oh, that's what we need to talk about.
The bologna.
We almost went the entire podcast without bringing up the
canopies.
Terrible version of a charcuterie board that this man brings in. Chuck Senior brings in bologna and cheese roll-ups. Bologna, listen.
Time and place.
Is like a Slim Jim, you know? I will eat it.
Yeah.
And then he brings like gherkins, like little baby gherkins. And that is the plate. And Wax is like, sure, I'll eat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was thrilled. He was happy to.
And I love when Chuck gets the actual like canapes and he's like, you don't think I'd have the audacity to not feed my guests, do you?
It's so great. It's so good. absolutely incredible. The hors d'oeuvres were incredible. And like that would be a perfect send off for Chuck Senior as far as I'm concerned.
Please.
So,
yeah. No, I hope he needs a terrible demise.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think continuing on is just the terrible demise for Chuck Senior. Just the continued survival in this hellscape. All right, well, next time we meet, we are closing the lid on Billions. Make sure you're subscribed. It's in our Succession feed. postshowrecaps.com/succession is where our Billions content is housed. You could also just subscribe to the main Post Show Recaps feed. You could watch us on video, postshowrecaps.com/YouTube, if you want to see what's going on visually on the podcast, especially when I go, I'm wide awake. You could see what that looks like. I'm wide awake. So you can come check us out. postshowrecaps.com/YouTube. Next time out, it is the series finale of Billions, Jess. Can you believe?
I can't believe we're here already. I'm very sad it's ending.
Sad that it's ending. Very excited that it's ending. Cannot wait for the next episode. Hit me up on the internet wherever you can find me at Round Howard. Jess, where are you?
I am at E. Jess Sterling.
All right, folks. Next time Billions comes to an end. Until then, go ahead and chuck off.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CANeighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CANeighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello. Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy, interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood. Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit CANeighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.